Until we're born again, our spirit is dead, and it's only by the power of God that we can accomplish this.
So let's say you're sitting here, and you're listening to the words I'm saying. Your soul's working. You're actually sitting in a chair. You're wiggling your toes inside your shoes. Nobody sees it. You're nervous. You want out of here. Your body's working, but there's a third dimension. It's your spirit. And your spirit's dead. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, there's no way that he could enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you need to be born again.
And I'll stand up and shout.
Before Jay had through the book of Proverbs here on Chapter and Verse, our teacher, Mike McIntosh, will once again bring into view the importance of trusting in God's Word. The only way we can truly see God's plan for our lives is to be born of the Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus that unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Our flesh will one day see corruption, but if our spirits are alive in Christ, we will live on in eternity with a new heavenly body, not made from the elements of earth, which will all pass away, but rather with celestial elements from God. The name of the Lord is our strong tower is our topic today on CNV. Now let's turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Proverbs, and join Mike as he leads us through the 18th chapter.
I had a friend that helped mentor me, very successful businessman that went into the ministry, and he was on the very first board of directors at Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa, one of Chuck Smith's elders. And so when Sandy and I both became Christians and we decided to get remarried, Chuck, when we went in for marriage counseling, said, go see Bob Ward and tell him you need a job and that I'm seeing you and Sandy for counseling and to see what happens. And so Bob hired me to be a salesman for his company. And he loved just teaching me, and we'd sit and talk 2-3 hours a day about the Bible and Scripture. And my mind moves really fast and very quick, and I could always see what the answer was going to be before the question was ever asked, or I could figure it out. And he'd always just say Proverbs 18:13. He wouldn't say anything, just Proverbs 18:13, Mike, and then he'd go on. And Proverbs 18:13. So then after a couple of days, I went home and read that. Oh, I get it. Okay. But here's another reason you want to memorize this Proverbs 18:13. Listen to the whole matter. What anybody has to say, let them finish. Get all the way through the discussion. Listen. Because then you get the whole broad picture. If you interrupt, then you don't get the whole picture. If you say, oh, I understand that, and you go about your way, and you shake hands, and you make a deal, you never let them finish telling you that there was a pit of vipers, snakes underneath the house. And he forgot to tell you that because you distracted him. So Proverbs 18:13 is a real wisdom one for you interacting with people. It can be used to help your fast mind, your quick wit, but it also gives you wisdom in interacting with other people. Listen to the whole matter. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it's a folly and a shame unto him. So listen and don't interrupt. The spirit, verse 14, of a man will sustain his infirmity. So you get hurt. You go for a physical and you find out that you have cancer. You're shocked. You're in an auto accident. You're home on leave from the Middle East and you've been at Balboa Hospital and you're wounded. Your spirit can sustain you during your time of infirmity. But then the second half, he says, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? So now our spirit is where our life is, and if that gets wounded, who can bear it, let alone the things that come along? Because without Jesus, there's just no way we could make it. So let's say you're sitting here and you're listening to the words I'm saying. Your soul's working. You're actually sitting in a chair. You're wiggling your toes inside your shoes. Nobody sees it. You're nervous. You want out of here. Your body's working, but there's a third dimension. It's your spirit. And your spirit's dead. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, there's no way that he could enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you need to be born again. Ruler said to Jesus, born again? I'm too old to go back in my mother's womb. And he said, you're a leader of the Jews and you don't understand this? He said, no, you have to have a second birth. You were born from your mother, and now you need to be born from above. God has to give you a birth where your spirit comes alive. And if you get pounded on all the time, your soul can do so much to help you. And you can see a psychiatrist, psychologist, you can take meds. You can try to work out the pain, the hurt you have. Your body, it's hurting. Or maybe your body's in great triathlete condition, but your soul is wounded, and so you keep trying to run it off and jog it off and swim it off and surf it off, and yet your mind's still hurt. It's that third dimension. It's the spirit. And that spirit is what's going to get you all the way past the hurts of the soul and the body and into heaven. But stop and think of this. Let's say that you are body, soul, and spirit here. You are born again. What do you have if the spirit gets wounded? Where do you go? So it's so very important for us to strengthen our spirits by feeding on the Word of God. So it's strong and it can take direct hits. And the Lord will always be there. With the psalmist in Psalm 40, he said, "The Lord inclined his ear unto me. And he heard my cry." He was crying out. His soul was just crying out. And he lifted me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And when you think of the miry clay, you remember that Adam was made out of clay. So just from the very substance of clay, that just from the miriness and the dirt, that he could get me out of that. But if you think of miry, you think of some water mixed in and slippery, slidey mud. And that Jesus could see you in your pit just grasping at the sides and your fingers are clawing, but it's so slippery and wet you can't get out of the miry clay. And then you stand up on your feet and you slip and fall and it's in your hair and on your face and you're just crying out, "God, where are you?" And then all of a sudden he inclines his ear and he reaches that mighty hand down and he retrieves you from that horrible pit. And then what's the first thing he does? Scolds you, bawls you out, tells you where you went wrong? No. Doesn't do that. He puts your feet on solid ground, puts you on the rock. And then he puts a new song in your heart, which means you get another opportunity to go forward. Now, I've felt for many years that Juan has the gift of faith that is written of in the Bible. For many, many years, I've followed his faith around Mexico and actually ridden on his coattails. And it's fun to see because he showed me a piece of property in a canyon. He said, "We'd like to buy this property. Do you have the money?" "No, but the Lord's going to give it to us." "Oh, okay, great. I'll pray for that. Lord, bless him, but give me the money first. So wait on him." What is he going to do here? There's not going to be anything. There's a house there and a second little guest cottage, but 25 acres of rattlesnake land, basically. So then I go down to speak at the pastor's conference in Ensenada. He says, "Let's go look at the land." Now there's four houses, and there's plumbing and electricity and two dorms, and they're getting ready to do some stuff on the hill. It's just amazing to see when the Lord speaks to your heart that he can set you on solid rock, and though maybe you slip, slide, in the miry clay, when you're in the flesh, when you're in the spirit, he can just put you on that rock. And then a new song, which means we never get old in the Lord. There's always something new and fresh coming, and he'll always revitalize us. So as we go through the Word of God, renewal and revival is always happening in our heart. That's why we like to do chapter and verse. So the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Verse 15, the heart of the prudent man, the heart of the prudent man, gets knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So number one, your heart. Number two, your ear. You're going to listen. And number one, you're going to pursue. You want knowledge. So you may want knowledge of the book of Exodus or the pastoral epistles. You want to get the knowledge of what does it mean to be in leadership in a church. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. You want eschatology. You want the end times. What's going to happen at the end of the world. So you want to get to know the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, Thessalonians. So that's kind of knowledge is there, but there's all sorts of knowledge. Look at Solomon. He enjoyed animals, and so he had wisdom, and he zeroed in and gave time to understanding. He was a zoologist. He was a botanist. He understood insects. See, your life doesn't just go in little blocks that you're this old now so you don't do this anymore. Every day, do something new and learn something new. So the wise heart is always getting knowledge. And the wise ear is always listening to knowledge. Now with MP3 players and iPods, you can listen all day long and you can learn Spanish and Russian and Chinese and Japanese, and some of you can even learn English, and you can just enjoy a language with all the equipment you have. So be wise and continue to receive knowledge from God. And then I've always loved this one, verse 16, and you can put your name here. A man's gift. Well, you could be the man or the woman. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. I like this verse because you can see that a gifted person, other people would like to have that person around. In a simple story, many years ago, in the 80s, I had the honor of being alone with Mr. Graham for a couple hours in a hotel room and asking him questions about God. And one of my questions I had was this: Mr. Graham, what does it feel like to be one of the most famous people in the world? The reason I was asking was, do you become a different person in your mind? Do you get out of touch with the common folk? What is it like? And he hung his head down, and his face was red, and he covered his face, both his hands. And I thought, I've either angered him or embarrassed him. And he looked up at me, and we were at a little table, the swag lamp hanging down, and he had a baseball cap on, a golf shirt, and a pair of casual jeans or something. And he said, well, do you know why kings and presidents and prime ministers and queens have me around? And I said, well, of course. Ever since I was a young man, I would always see the 10 most admired people in America. You were always number one or number two. And whoever was president was number one or number two. But the 10 most admired, you're a celebrity. You're one of the most admired human beings ever. That's why I was wondering, what does it feel like to you? And he said, well, just a minute. You know why Queen Elizabeth has me around? I said, yes, because you're famous. He said, no. He said, the only reason these famous people have me around is for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all. It's the only reason. They can talk to me privately. We can become friends. We can be on the golf course. We can be at dinner. And they can ask me questions out of the limelight about eternal life and salvation. And then he said this: Mike, I'm a farm boy from North Carolina. And the day that I forget that, God will stop using me. Still means that he's a farm boy from North Carolina that God just lifted up, sent around the world, and he realizes his gifts have brought him in front of great people. Speaking of Mexico, Steve McQueen died a number of years ago in Mexico, in Tecate, I believe it was, at a clinic for cancer. And when he died, they say that he died with Billy Graham's Bible on his chest because Mr. Graham had gone to see him. And Hollywood knew they could trust Mr. Graham. And Washington knew they could trust Mr. Graham. And so I want you to underline this and memorize this, because you have a gift. And maybe the great person isn't the great person in somebody else's eyes, but in God's eye, they're a great person. It's going to bring you to them. And he brings you before great men. So your gift makes room for you. And maybe you don't have the intellect or the money that the crowd you're with right now, but your gift has brought you in that you can talk to them and share the love of Jesus with them. Verse 17. He that is first in his own cause seems just, but his neighbor comes and searches him. Which is a good one for us, because it'll keep us out of trouble. We can always think what we're doing is the main thing, and this is most important, and this is a just cause, and this is right. Your neighbor comes along and says, hey, you say da-da-da-da, but did you ever consider? I never knew that. I just never knew that. So it's very important for us not to get proud or haughty, because we may not know the whole story. And our neighbor can come and search us out, and we need to be open before all men. Here's one that I'm sure all of us in this room have experienced. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Have you got a friendship that has been broken? If you've offended a brother or a sister, another person, maybe you haven't talked to your dad for years, it's harder to win that person back that you've offended than to take a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. So the person you're trying to say, hey, I asked forgiveness, aren't you going to forgive me? It's like there's these big bars between you and them. So you need to pray through that. And if you've offended somebody, then ask forgiveness. Now, I have found that when I ask forgiveness, even if the person doesn't forgive me, God forgives me because I've done what is right. So all you have to do is to go before him and the person and ask forgiveness and then pray. Now, here's a cool one. Verse 22. Whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. Would you read that out loud? Whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. Could I have just the men read that out loud right now? Whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. Okay, ladies, now you can read it. Whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. And unfortunately, there's no scripture that reverses that about us men. We find the good thing. You're the good thing. When Pepper Rogers was the football coach at UCLA, he was going through a bad, bad season. And like a lot of coaches, his emotions were up and down. And he got so upset, his home life started to fall apart a little bit. And his communication with his wife was getting strained in this losing season at UCLA. And here's what he said to his, my dog was my only friend. I told my wife one day that a man needs at least two friends. And so she went out and bought me a second dog. I read a story about a guy that this happily married couple for many years, raised cucumbers and sweet pickles. And they did the pickling and raising together. She loved to pickle them and give them out to friends. And he loved to raise the cucumbers. He just loved to watch things grow. So every winter he would be reading the seed catalogs and getting up on what's coming for the summer, best cucumbers and whatever. And the whole family enjoyed preparing the soil and digging it up, get the weeds out, turning it over, planting, caring for the plants. And he'd go out and just enjoy looking at the way they would start sprouting, growing in the earth. And his wife loved to make the sweet pickles, so she studied the best recipes and was always reading the recipe books and best methods of preparing pickles and dill and sweet and preserving them. And they were such a happy family. All their visitors that came to their house got a jar of pickles. And the church always had a good supply of pickles. You guys get smarties. And people marveled at this family, how close they were, and they had found a project that they could do together. So finally, the old guy dies. And the next spring, all the children come home, and they say to Mom, "You know, we know how much you love making pickles. And we're going to prepare the garden just like Dad did, and we're going to plant them for you and get the seeds." And the mother smiled and said, "Well, thanks a lot, children. But you don't have to do anything for me, no planting. I don't really enjoy making pickles. I only did that because your father loved to grow the cucumbers so much. So I just did it to please him." The children were all amazed, but the youngest son was really upset, because the father had pulled him aside just 2 weeks before he died and shared with him he didn't like growing cucumbers, but only did it to please his mother. Whoso finds a wife can get in a pickle. Verse 23, here's a simple one, and you can, before we go home and Joe comes and leads us some more worship, I bet you tomorrow you're going to see this. You're going to see it at work. You're going to see it at the beach. You're going to see it somewhere. You're going to see it several times this week and maybe from now on out. Look at it. The poor uses entreaties, but the rich answers roughly. Now, are there any waiters or waitresses here? You're afraid to show yourself. Okay, we got one brave woman over here. But you know how people can treat you by how they tip, or just if they snap at you. And here's what you can tell a person is how they talk to people. A poor person will always use an entreaty. "Would you please? Could I? Would it bother you?" But the rich person is always barking orders. "Hey, bring me, ha!" You know, and you can tell a person where they are by how they entreat other people. And you want to be the poor person, even if you're rich in the world. But we're just pilgrims passing through on this planet, so we want to entreat people, and it's a sign of respect also. The poor uses entreaties, but the rich answers roughly. And then finally, verse 24, and Joe, you can strike up the band. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I want you to turn to the person on your right side and tell you who that person is that sticks closer than a brother. See, the smarties are kicking in. They're working on you. Father, we know that of all the names, there is no name under heaven other than Jesus Christ that can save our souls from its sin. There is no other name under heaven by which a man can be saved other than Jesus. And we know there is a friend that sticks closer than our brother, and we know his name is Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we all thank you tonight that you were willing to come down here and humble yourselves to set an example for each of us. And Lord, we would like to plead entreaties and humble ourselves before you. We don't want to speak roughly with you or demanding because we have no right for anything. But we would like to ask that you would give us wisdom. And God, would you give it to us liberally? Could we just see these little nuggets and then apply the ones that apply to our lives? Help us, Lord. Help us to understand he that answers a matter before he hears the whole thing. It's a shame and a folly. So you're giving us wisdom that we'll get more out of a relationship and a conversation if we listen all the way to the end and let the other person finish speaking. Lord, give us your wisdom that we would understand how to get along with people, how we'd be able to handle our lives. If we've offended a brother, you've told us why we're having trouble getting this friendship back together. It's harder than taking a city. So Lord, give us your wisdom that we now know there are pillars and iron bars between us and them like a castle. The contention has really caused problems. So we would pray that your love would melt these contentious bars between us and our brother and restore our friendships and our relationships. Then Lord, you gave us some wisdom that a man's gift. And there are people here that are very gifted. They can sing, and that's going to bring them before a great mighty people. They're ambassadors, they're tactful. That's going to bring them before heads of state. Lord, they're wise and they're gentle, they're knowledgeable and understanding. That's going to bring them before many, many people. So let us hone these skills with wisdom and become really godly men and women that can see beyond the falseness of this world we live in and understand that your kingdom's right at hand. And we want to introduce people to you. So we ask for your anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost to come upon us with your wisdom so that when we speak, people will know it's something special. And then they will get to know that heaven is right next door and they'll turn their lives to you. May you bless these men. May you bless these women. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed right now, before we depart in song, some of you at the very beginning began to say, yeah, I agree with you. I am here with my soul and my body. I didn't know about my spirit, but I want my spirit to be born again, and I want to have eternal life. And I never knew about this before, but I want to receive it by faith. And the Bible simply says that if you believe in your heart that God raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, and then confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. And wisdom says the heart is always looking for knowledge, so you got some more knowledge. And the ear is always listening to knowledge, so now you know to simply believe in your heart and confess. So if you would say, dear God, forgive me of my sins, and I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to be my Lord and to be my Savior, I want to live for you. Would you just raise your hand up and look at me while you're sitting there and everybody else is praying? God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Yes, ma'am. I see you right here. Yes, standing up in the back. Yes, right in the middle in the back. And yes, I saw you right there, the white blouse. Lord, may you bless these people. May you touch their... Yes, I see you right here in the end. May you touch their souls, and that even as they're driving home, they will sense something new. And God, as they even go to bed tonight, they could pick up a Bible and just read it and see some wonderful wisdom come into their hearts. We pray for all of us, Lord. You would keep us safe in these dark days, but keep us happy, filled with your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Mike McIntosh with the conclusion to our study from Proverbs chapter 18. How exciting it is when someone takes that step of faith and commits their life to Christ. Perhaps after listening to this study, you want to make that same commitment. Or you made that decision many years ago and now realize you need to come back. Let me take a moment and invite you to visit our website. Our address on the World Wide Web is MikeMacintosh.com. Once you're on the homepage, look for the Know God link where you'll find the simplicity of the gospel clearly explained. There's also a section about getting a fresh start with God, along with suggestions for further study. This is also the website that you can use to listen to nearly the entire Bible taught by Pastor Mike. Again, check in at MikeMacintosh.com. Now, before we end our time together today, if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, to give your financial support, drop us a line at Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacintosh.com. Be sure to join us next time on CNV when we'll continue our studies of the Book of Proverbs. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.